call the servers of the wedding and give them some instructions. He says, take those six large stone jars that were used for cleaning dishes, utensils, etc., and fill those jars to the brim with water. And then, when they drew the water out of the jars, of course it wasn't water. Instead, it was wine. And not just any wine, but the best wine that the wedding guests had yet experienced at this feast. And then look at verse 11, where our reading this morning ended. This, the first of Jesus' signs, he did at Cana in Galilee, and he manifested or revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Keep your eyes on verse 11, because there's so much going on here that's so important for us, especially this word signs. This, the first of his signs. So signs, this is a really important theme throughout the Gospel of John. In fact, some commentators call the whole Gospel of John the Book of Signs, because John focuses his gospel around these signs that Jesus does to reveal his glory, the first of which happens in John chapter 2 that we're studying this morning. Now, fast forward to John chapter 6, where Jesus gives us a really important explanation for these signs. It's really important to see what Jesus says here in John chapter 6 as we're trying to understand what's happening in John chapter 2. So in John chapter 6, Jesus feeds the multitude with simply 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And so the next day, the crowd is rightly amazed. Look at what this man did. He fed all of us with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And so they're following him and asking him questions. And this is what Jesus says to them. This is really important. Listen, John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw the signs." You see that word? "Not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." So here's the thing that Jesus is saying to this multitude of people. He's saying, you're impressed with me, not because you saw the sign, but because of the surface level thing. You're impressed because of the bread, but you're missing what's going on underneath the surface. You're seeing the reality that's in front of you, but you're missing the reality behind the reality beyond the reality, the truer thing that's happening, the deeper thing that's happening. And the same is true of this sign in John chapter 2. Yes, there's something amazing that happens. Jesus turns water into wine for the wedding feast, but there's also something even grander, even more amazing, even more miraculous, even more true happening with this sign in John 2. So what's going on here? What's the deeper reality? What's behind the sign in John chapter 2? Well, we see a glimpse of it in the jars that Jesus uses to turn water into wine. Look again at verse 6. We see that there are 6 stone water jars, and John alerts us to something very important. I believe that every word in Scripture is purposeful, so these words aren't there by accident. Now, there were 6 stone water jars there. Why? For the Jewish rites of purification. So there are 6 large jars there, and they're set aside for a specific purpose, for ceremonial cleansing, related to Jewish religious laws and customs. So I think that it's vitally important that Jesus uses these 6 water jars to turn water into wine. And here's the deeper thing that's happening behind these 6 water jars. Jesus is announcing in this sign, I'm doing something new here. The jars represent the old order of things, and Jesus is here, Jesus is on the scene, to bring all of those things to their fulfillment and to usher in a new age, a new kingdom. Jesus is saying, I am doing something new here. There's a new kingdom in your midst. That, to me, is good, exciting news, but it gets even better. Because what does Jesus do with these stone water jars? In these stone water jars that are set aside for Jewish religious customs, Jesus turns water into wine. And again, not just any wine, but really good wine. Not the cheap stuff, the expensive stuff. The quality of the wine, the quantity of the wine, point to the joyfulness and the provision of this new age that Jesus is ushering in. So Jesus is here to usher in a new age, a new kingdom, and it's a kingdom marked by provision and joy and celebration. We see this not just in the jars, but in the wedding feast itself. Now this makes me really excited. So let me show you the deeper thing going on in this wedding feast, this sign that Jesus is doing. So I love the Gospel of John because it's deeply theological and it's so rich with symbolism. There's so much going on underneath the surface. And we see it right in, literally, in the beginning. Those are the three words John uses to begin his gospel. In John chapter 1, verse 1, we see in the beginning. Which sound very familiar to what? To Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where we see the words in the beginning. So the Gospel of John is reframing creation in light of the incarnation, the coming of Jesus. And then in John chapter 2, there's a wedding. And can you guess what's in Genesis chapter 2? A wedding, right? The original marriage covenant that God lays out between man and woman. And here's Jesus on the scene in John chapter 2 announcing at a wedding that a new age is here. I'm ushering in a new kingdom, one that's marked by feasting and celebration and joy. So what is this new age? What is this new kingdom that Jesus has brought? Well, I love this too, and I love the Bible is 66 books. It's 1,289 chapters, but they're so clearly woven throughout a narrative. So we see at the beginning of the story of Scripture, the beginning of the narrative, there's a wedding. And then when Jesus arrives on the scene in John chapter 2, there's a wedding. And then do you know how the narrative of Scripture ends? With a wedding. In John chapter 9, or Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 and 7, we see the marriage supper of the Lamb. Listen to these words in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 6 and 7. Alleluia, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. So this sign from Jesus in John chapter 2 is pointing forward to what we see in Revelation chapter 19, the future, the coming marriage supper of the Lamb, which Jesus is announcing has been inaugurated, has begun in his arrival. Jesus is ushering in a new kingdom, and one day we look forward to the day when that kingdom arrives in full, when there's feasting and joy and celebration, when the bride, the church, that's us, those of us who are in Christ, the saints of God who are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, feast with God in God's presence. This is the kingdom that has begun, and the good news, the event, the kingdom that we're looking forward to, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And this is what's going on. This is the message that we see and that we actually participate in every week when we gather together and participate together in the Eucharist. Right? In our words and in our actions, we see in front of us this gospel message reenacted. That though we have rebelled against God, he came near to us in the person of Jesus. Jesus is our Messiah, our deliverer, our Savior, our Lord, and our King, our Lamb, who didn't hoard power, but willingly gave his body, gave his blood for our sake, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, so that as we trust in him and hope in him and surrender to him, we feast with him in the here and now, and in the marriage supper of the Lamb that we look forward to when his kingdom arrives in full. Isn't that good news? Man, it's cold outside, but I'm fired up about this. So here's my encouragement for you today. If you're in the room, if you're joining in online, no matter what sort of season you're in, my encouragement to you again is the invitation that Philip extends to Nathanael. Come and see. Behold Jesus. Behold, you're going to hear in our communion liturgy in a few moments, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And listen again as we close to verse 11 in John chapter 2. This, the first of Jesus' signs, he did in Cana at Galilee, and he manifested, he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him. Now, I want you to notice that most of the wedding participants didn't see what Jesus did. In fact, do you remember the chief host, the sort of lead server at the wedding? Do you remember his reaction? He didn't see what Jesus did. He sort of gave credit to the groom. He said, wow, what a brilliant thing. You've saved the best wine until now. But the disciples saw Jesus. They saw Jesus. Come and see. Behold Jesus. They saw him. They were watching, and they believed. And I can imagine that those disciples had a sort of gospel glow. Remember the words of MLK? They had a gospel glow about them. So I too, like those early disciples of Jesus, I want us to have that gospel glow that bubbles over out of our lives into our neighborhoods and our workplaces and our families and our friends. So today, no matter where you are, come and see. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.